So whenever you want to start, you may start.
Okay. Him.
Did he say him?
Him. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Podcast. I'm one of the hosts, Ian Boothby.
And I'm the other host, David Dedrick.
And this is episode number 12, or what they call a podcaster's dozen.
A podcaster's dozen.
Yeah, which is 12.
Unlike a baker's dozen, which is
13, because bakers can't do math.
Well, actually, there was a law that there was a very severe punishment for underselling bread to customers in England.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
No, I understand.
Okay, and
you don't have your funny voice going, so I understand that this is a serious topic. Anyone here who's preparing?
There was a real rule in those days. But yeah, so in order to try to make sure that they didn't accidentally break this rule, they would actually throw in extra. And so that's where the idea of a baker's dozen comes from.
Because bakers used to withhold bread from the public.
Well, there was a lot of paranoia about substituting products in order, putting like
there was a lot of hot cross bun conspiracy theories back in the day.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
So they would think they would put chalk or human bones and things like that into the bread.
Now, wait a second. This is back in the day when if you had the option of a flour or human bones, mm-hmm. your more economical solution was to grind human bones. Do you know who would like that? Mm-hmm. Giant.
That's right.
Because giants.
That's where that comes from, actually.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. Yeah. I smell blood of an Englishman. I'll grind your bones to make my bread.
That's where that comes from as well. And no one has ever said that conspiracy theories make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just one more example of where conspiracy theories don't make any sense at all.
Now, I'm not pro human bone bread. I'm just saying if back, recently there was the low carb fad, mm-hmm. that would be a nice way to make low carb bread. If you could substitute.
Yeah, gluten free as well.
Gluten free as well.
Yeah.
Oh, this just covers all the bases. Mm-hmm. Once again, I am not advocating taking humans and turning them into bread, but I am saying if you do, it does cover a lot of dietary bases.
It does. Yeah.
It really does feel like the way that we're eating nowadays is will eventually end up with bone bread.
Bone bread.
Basically a bone-based diet.
The problem is that if you actually baked bread with bone in it,
yes,
it would not work. It would not be bread.
From personal experience this comes?
This is from personal reading.
Okay. How about cupcakes?
Same with cupcakes.
Birthday cakes.
Same with birthday
cakes. How about an ice cream cake?
Ice cream cakes aren't
An ice cream cake would work.
Yeah.
Cake would work.
You could have a fine dusting of bone on top of the
nice.
Ice cream cake. Or sort of mix in the bone into the ice cream as you're making the cake.
That's right. Of course you could. Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Because
you have a bucket of powdered bone laying around and you're kind of, I might as well get rid of it.
Okay. Now, once
you want it to go bad.
Sorry. This baker that you're talking about who's got the human bones mm-hmm. that he is there, people are worried, legitimately worried that you will be sticking human bone into your bread back in the day. Now, do people assume that this baker is a murderer? Who is hiding the bodies in the bread? Is he? Are we talking a Sweeney Todd type baker?
And what I think is interesting is that you've gone from my saying bone,
yeah,
to you saying human bone,
right?
Because really, any sort of bone. I wasn't saying human bone.
Oh, you're thinking
they could have gone to a rendering plant or whatever where
right.
there's bone
in the bone district.
In the bone district.
Yeah, in Bonetown.
Bonetown. Yeah, Boneville.
Right. Go to a black bone market. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sure.
They could go to where they're rendering plants or whatever.
And they talk to your local boner. Yes.
Yes. To the local boner. To the owner of the boner.
Ghost the spoils.
That's right. They could talk to him.
Right.
I don't know why we're talking about this because the whole thing is madness.
It is madness.
It never existed.
It never did.
It was pure paranoia.
And that's why to bakers, 13 is 12 because they were all murderers. Is that why 13's unlucky?
13 is unlucky. I don't think that's why 13 is unlucky.
It would
unlucky.
Make sense if your baker is a murderer. Yeah, that would make sense why 13 would all of a sudden become unlucky. Well, I'm glad it's not our 13th episode. It's just our 12th episode, so we have gotten way off topic.
That's right.
No.
You brought it up.
All right. Well, let's bring things back to the present.
The podcasting
We were in the past. Now we're in the present.
Okay.
This week.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Apology accepted. This week is Ash Wednesday.
It is.
So I celebrated by watching all of the Pokemon movies.
Well, that is a form I can't think of the word I was going to use. A form of penitence, I guess.
Yes.
Sort of like self-flagellation.
Yeah. Your other option on that, of course, you could also watch all the Evil Dead trilogy, also starring a fellow named Ash.
Oh, is that what you want? Because in Pokemon, there is a
the lead creature? Character is named Ash.
Is that
the boy is named Ash?
I thought it was because of some kind of, you know, religiously based self-hatred.
Self-flagellation.
That you wanted to.
I used to be Catholic. That is true. Okay, so. But I don't think the Catholic Church, since Vatican II, they haven't advocated Pokemon.
They haven't advocated self-Pokemon.
The self-Pokemon. That's right. Oh, no. No, listen. The Catholic Church is completely against you poking your mon. Let's, no. You know, Pikachu, I choose you. They are not for that.
They're not for that either.
They are not for that. No. But since Vatican II, they do look the other way if it happens.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Particularly if the priests do some Pokemoning.
Well, I'm not here to...
You don't want
to
go
I'm
there.
Not...
Okay,
know,
let's not go there.
No, we call that a priest dozen.
A priest dozen.
That's right.
Okay.
No, it's fine. But anyway, it's Ash Wednesday, so
that's what you that did was what for, I did. For yeah. Ash Wednesday. What did I do for Ash Wednesday?
Did I ask that?
Okay.
Did I open the door to that?
No.
Look, man, if you want to say, spill the
no,
beans,
no,
it's up to you. It's your private damn life.
It's
I don't
okay.
care. What did you do Ash related?
Went to a swingers party.
Nice. What has that got to do with Ash?
Nothing at all. I just decided to not tell
just
the truth.
Go to a swingers party. All right. That's fine. That's
oh,
fine.
Another show my wife can't listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds fine. All right. No, that's okay. No, I used to be Catholic, so I used to love having the ash on the head as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You like anything that's like odd on your face.
Okay.
You know, they're just like, "Hey, look at me."
That's
you know,
right.
It's pretty good.
I'm in Kiss.
That's actually, yeah, I was more of an Alice Cooper kid back then.
Okay. Now you could take it and sort of smudge it around your eyes as mm-hmm. well and
this
tangent, really
and I know we're not a show to tangent.
No,
but tangent. But I went for 2 years on Halloween as Alice Cooper. Though I wasn't a huge Alice Cooper fan.
Okay,
I just liked him on the Muppets. So so I liked the makeup. And
he is an entertaining person.
Yes, and it was good because it broke the tradition I had of 3 years previous of like 3 years in a row of going as a Chinese man. And now I'm just going to say that half of my family currently is Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and
they still haven't forgiven you.
No, I'm just saying some pictures have gone missing from the family album.
Oh,
like
okay.
It was a charming costume back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so good.
Not so
no
good
more.
Now, so it's kind of disappeared.
Yeah, and here, the weird thing about it, I am a little bit. I can't be ashamed. I was 8. It's
yeah,
not my
it's
damn
you.
Fault.
No, no.
You know, I didn't dress my. I didn't buy this for myself
yeah.
with my own
keep
job
on,
money.
Keep on telling yourself that.
But we actually. We had Chinese people in the neighborhood. We did. So, like, I'm going trick-or-treating to their door and just going, mm-hmm. like, hi, this is – look what I'm dressed as.
You went,
I think oh. you're a monster. I could have gone as a Dracula or you. I went as you. Give me candy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think you really thought it through that carefully?
Did I think
yeah.
it through back?
No,
no, I did not at all.
I don't think that you thought that.
All I thought
your
was
your parents
candy.
Thought that.
I don't know what they thought. What was the thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. It was either, oh, there's so many jokes I want to make, and I know they're all in bad taste, so I just don't want to say anything.
That's okay. I started this off, I swear.
Okay, because it was either that or your parents could have burned a giant, you know, egg roll on the front lawn. So it was more subtle to
that's
send
right.
a sort of message to the neighbors.
Right.
So really, you know.
Is that what they did back then? I don't think there was any hatred. It was just like, this is so exotic and crazy.
Yeah, I think that's
and
what
I'm like,
about.
And I kind of get that back when there was no planes traveling or they had to go by ship. Like, I know, but like, this was in the 70s. Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Well, but if you think back to that time, it was pretty white bread.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's what they gave me. That was ironically what all the Chinese families gave me was white bread.
Came to
and,
the door.
Yeah, with a wonder loaf of wonder bread. Yeah.
Okay.
It is a disturbing time. What did you go as for Halloween when you were a young man?
Well, a fireman.
Okay.
1 year as a devil.
Oh, okay.
My parents usually bought me the really cheap costumes you could get at Safeway or Super Value that had were basically one giant fire waiting to happen. You know, the sort of
which is ironic
plastic.
For a fireman's
yeah,
costume
right.
that was so flammable.
That's right. This sort of flammable smock-like thing that had some sort of writing on it that said, like, I'm a fireman.
Yes, that was the weirdest thing,
yeah.
was that they had the writing on it. Just like if you were the Incredible Hulk, you yeah. would write the Incredible Hulk
yeah.
on your chest.
Well, because what that was to do is so it made it less irritating for you to go trick-or-treating because it prevented all the parents when they came to the door saying, oh, and who are you?
Mm-hmm.
You could just say, I'm the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, was that for the elderly people who
that
didn't
was,
understand?
Yeah, that was for people who might not get the characters that were coming to the door.
Well, I find that very cruel.
Why are you wearing that red hat
no.
and that raincoat?
No,
what are you?
I'm against that.
I'm a fireman.
No, let me tell you why that's a bad thing.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. you got the older folks that come to the door and they see the kids. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you supposed to say to the kid? Like, you can say, oh, you're cute. But that's weird to say to a kid that you're cute. That's a weird thing to say.
Yep.
So what do? I mean, they're trying to make some small talk. You don't want to just hand over the candy like it's a mugging. You got to say something just like, what a Halloween. How about this weather? How about the local sports team? No, the little thing you get to say to the kid is, and what are you? And then they say a little something back. But if you've written it on your chest, you're being an asshole. Because now the guy's like, who are you? Apparently we've got,
Incredible Hulk's here.
Seen any good movies lately? Spider-Man.
A Barbie.
And, that's good. Looks like
Cinderella. Great, okay.
UNICEF, huh? There you go. Mm-hmm.
And then you wear that uncomfortable mask that you would wear for about an hour, and you'd just be breathing in it until it was soaking wet inside.
Well, you did have the two tiny little nose holes.
But you can breathe through those, so you'd be breathing through your mouth.
Well, this is back before children needed to breathe.
Oh.
We were tougher back then.
The 1970s, we could hold it back for an hour.
If you're a young person listening to this, before 1980, children had gills in the back of their necks. And that's because we had to work in factories back then as well. There was a lot of child labor. And so we had like a filtration system out the back of our necks. And that's how we were able to wear all those suffocating masks.
I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. It just seemed like it just got dripping wet inside the mask.
Yeah, it was not great.
And then my mom always wanted me to dress as a girl.
Really?
I don't know why.
Did she want a girl?
She thought that was like the greatest.
Because you were three boys.
There were three boys in the family, yes.
Mm.
And she did try for the girl, but after three boys, she's like, no more.
Yeah.
I don't want a fourth boy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew us, you'd know why. And I could never do it because of an unfortunate wig accident that occurred to me when I was a baby. And for some reason,
this sounds like a John Waters story about to happen.
No, it's not that. It's very simple.
If you're listening to this, by the way, start playing the theme song to Hairspray now.
That's right. Well, my aunt. This is very simple. My aunt was babysitting, and she was leaning over me when
I was. You're sure it was an aunt, not an uncle dressed up as a girl?
It was my aunt.
Okay,
it was my aunt, but she was wearing a wig, and I pulled it off her head and terrified myself. And I was just a little boy, right? I was just a little tiny, and she's playing with me, and I just grabbed her hair.
As you do.
And she, kind of leaned back, and then the hair came off in my hands.
Right. And she took it in stride.
And I screeched in
terror. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she cool with it, or was she?
She was okay.
Good for her.
Because, it was a time of wigs.
Yeah.
It's not like she didn't have hair. It's just she was also.
I remember my mom, and it was so weird, because she had, dark hair, and she wore a wig that looked just like her hair.
Mm-hmm.
But on top, which I guess makes sense, because no one's going to suspect that a wig that looks like your hair is your hair, but then you don't have to do up your hair.
Well, thinking about it.
And then of course, I said to everyone at the party, my mom's wearing a wig.
Points for honesty.
That's not what she said.
Well, thinking about it, though, I just remember, I don't remember your mom, but having to wear curlers before they went to bed. They would have all the hair, the little clips in their hair and curlers in their hair. And then the kind of the thing, the bonnet that went over all that stuff so they didn't get disturbed while they're sleeping. And that was a lot of work.
And they would have to dip their entire head in wax, put some straws up their nose. Once again, not a problem because they had the back of the neck, little gill. Yep. They were okay. Yep. But they had to do a lot of work.
A lot of work. So I can see why a wig would have been like a preferred alternative at sometimes when you couldn't.
Now, we both are married to ladies, okay?
Very much so.
We're both very married to ladies.
Mm-hmm.
We went for – you could either get married or very married, and both of us went for the very married package.
It was a little more.
Yep.
It was a little more, but I think it was worth it.
But then you don't get divorced.
It was worth it.
Yeah, a lot of people, go for the other one. Okay, so – and we sleep next to our ladies.
It's a fact.
Does your lady – now, not to be too personal, have a bunch of business in her hair when she goes to sleep?
No.
Me either. Where'd that happen?
I don't know. Why did – it disappeared.
It completely disappeared. I think it disappeared about the same time all women decided to do dishes and let the men not. I think everyone just went, and forget this crap in the hair too. Sounds good. No more.
Wait a second. You just said it happened about the same time that women decided to do the dishes?
Not do the dishes.
Oh, not do the dishes.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. I remember – and again, I'm a kid and it's not a million damn years ago, but you'd have say a dinner and then the women would go and wash the dishes and the guys would go in the living room.
A wonderful time.
And it's a wonderful, crazy ass time. And then everyone at once went, fuck that. And that was the end of that. And I'm all for them going, fuck that. It's fine.
I'm on the fence about it.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was back when people used to sit on the fence.
And that's one of the nice things about visiting England, visiting Lisa's relatives in England.
Right.
It's because the women do so damned much.
Like what?
Well,
what's a British thing?
Her aunts and stuff like that. Well, they cook for you, and you know, it's, they call you to dinner. It's like you're not expected to go in there and help or stir things and then do the dishes after. No, it's one of them. Maybe it's because I'm a guest. So
I think that might
it
be
would it. Be a little awful if it was.
Yeah, although, see,
but
all
it the, seems like, to me, it seems like the men of that generation also get that treatment. I'm not saying that the women of my generation are like that with their husbands. I highly doubt it.
It just seems like this bizarre thing. Like if it did happen and for some reason I was at a party and all the women went into the kitchen and did dishes, it would just be like, something's wrong. They're planning something. I don't trust this. I'd get scared.
But like, it's still okay if they all go to the bathroom together. Am I right, man? Am I right? High five.
Well, they need spotters.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people ask, why do women go to the bathroom together? And let me explain why.
Okay.
Okay. Back in the oldie days, one, it did make sense because you had like your bustles and your this and your bushel and your peck. And there's no way you can get out of that business alone.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You need someone to help you. You need like you're a knight and a squire. You need someone to assist you. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the 60s, that was the time that Twiggy was popular and all the women got really, really skinny. And yet the toilet stayed the same size. So often if a woman went to the bathroom by herself, if it was too wet, the seat got too wet, she would fall in and be flushed away. And so there were so many flushed wives.
Okay.
And women, you know, not just wives, single women as well.
Yeah, could happen to anyone.
It could happen to anyone.
Who was a woman.
And was Twiggy size.
Yeah.
That they would have to have someone like outside the door and they'd go, it's happening again. And like, they would know that as the sign. They would open the door and grab their hand and stop them from being flushed away.
Well, that's okay.
It was sad. The amount of women we lost, it was tragic.
But the problem with that theory that you just gave me.
By theory, you mean truth.
Right. The thing that you've just said
is
that there are also thin men.
Are you talking from the movie series, The Thin Man?
No, he's not that thin.
Well, no, you wait. The thin
wait,
man. The thin man
isn't the
isn't the lead character.
I know.
And he does not use the toilet because people before the 1950s did not use the toilet.
But I'm thinking about the 1960s.
Oh, very good. Continue that.
Because you're talking about Twiggy.
I am talking about Twiggy.
Who is a 60s phenomenon.
Oh, wasn't she ever?
She was up there.
Sure is.
That's a mathematical term, by the way.
I know. I've listened to the show before. I know how the show goes. I'm the co-host.
I like the callback.
All right, please do.
Like I said, you know, she was
welcome to episode
popular.
Two. There's a callback to episode two. Remember that when I said that at the beginning of the show?
I do remember that. In fact, but the thing is I introduced the second show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So,
I introduced it better later. Right, but please continue with your Twiggy bashing.
In the remake. We did a remake of it in 3D.
Yes, we did.
Which is weird because you usually do the third one in 3D, but we didn't. We did the second one. Anyway, so what I was going to say was, weren't there thin men at that time that were also falling into toilets?
No, because
and they had no,
men would use the urinal. They would use a urinal. You don't fall into a urinal. Were you thinking that men used a proper toilet? Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
Before, again, the 1960s, I think it was 1966, men only used urinals.
For all their business.
For all their business. That's right. That's all a man needed was a urinal.
Okay, I just want to say that the past was really gross.
Oh, because we didn't have number two before then.
What?
It was all number one. That was all men did.
Is that right?
Yes. Try to find any evidence of a man pooping before the 1960s. Try. You can't.
You can't find
and
it.
And no. You see, like, there's a toilet that was for the ladies. Mm-hmm. No, it's just men were number one. But then all of a sudden, when women started becoming liberated, then we all started shitting ourselves. And that's when it began.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah. This has become a very sexist podcast. And
actually,
I disagree with myself completely on the topics we're
having.
Everything
I said.
First of all, we've gotten toilet related. Secondly, I'm dressing like a Chinese person. Now we're talking about all this women. It's very weird. We've taken a turn.
Yep.
I'm thinking we're very close to being one of those kind of men's podcasts. Maybe we should go that route.
That's terrible.
Well, I think the problem was two podcasts ago, we started talking sports and that opened the door a crack. We've opened the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I went in a nerdy reference. I'm okay. We opened the Ark of the Covenant and now it's starting to come out. Maybe we're going to get, you'd be all real male-y, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I can't. It's hard to see us going down that road of oafishness.
Yeah, me too. I don't really. I like women and stuff.
Okay.
They're all equal in junk.
They're all equal. Yeah, I love women. Too much.
Really too much?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm that respectful of them.
Really? Like, what would be an example of being too respectful?
Well, I don't open the door for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're coming towards the door, I don't bother opening it for them.
Right.
Because they can do it. They can do it as well.
They can do it better.
They can do it better.
But when they open the door, they get paid 75% of what a man does for
opening
the door.
Well, that's the other thing is
women doormen. Oh, they get paid crap.
It's because I respect them so much. I pay them less for what they do.
Right.
Because I know how hard they like to work.
Yes.
And so they're, you know, my 8 hours is their 10 hours, and they really appreciate that.
Well, this brings up an important point. Whenever they talk about how women are paid less than men, what mm-hmm. they don't bring up is that's out of respect.
Exactly.
Completely out of respect. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I respect a woman too much to pay her the same amount as a
exactly.
man.
Exactly.
Whereas a man, I just pity the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this guy needs it.
Yeah.
This guy's like, he can't handle his money.
What a goof.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
This guy needs a couple extra bucks, but the lady, sure. she's fine. She's yeah. got her shit together. She knows how to do things. It's fine. She'll do more with less and she's okay.
Exactly.
So you know what, ladies? You're welcome.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Yeah. I don't think we say you're welcome enough for things that we're not thanked for.
That's exactly. I'm famous for that.
Right. Well, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we've got Thanksgiving and I'm all for that.
Yep.
But I think we should have a day that's called Your Welcome's Day.
Your Welcome's Day?
And it's just like you go up to, you know, people that you think should have said thank you but didn't. And just and you know what? You erase that awkwardness by just saying to them, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
I like that. Well, you know what?
What?
I'm not going to thank you for it, just so that you can say to me.
Well, we'll save it for the day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Save it for the day.
Okay.
Maybe just let's make that day.
Remember that I didn't thank you for that.
Let's make that day February 29th. So it's a special day.
It's a very special day.
Well, first of all, it's a special
we'll
day.
We'll have it every year on February 29th.
Right. Every day on February 29th. Every year on February 29th.
Yeah.
Do you know, by the way, whose birthday it is on February 29th? Special birthday.
Yeah, because you brought this up two shows ago.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess and I'm going to sound really smart.
Yeah.
It's the Green Lantern's birthday.
No, it's Superman's birthday.
Oh, how could I forget? Two
That's
shows.
Right. Also, I believe then it's Bizarro's birthday because he is the reverse Superman, so I assume it's the same thing.
But wouldn't this be on November 29th?
Good point. Maybe it'd be November 92nd.
November 92nd.
Yeah, because that's a Bizarro calendar. Speaking of superhero things, I saw the Ghost Rider movie.
That's bad.
Well,
aren't you supposed to be boycotting it?
No, I'm fine with that. What? I can't look. Okay, here's the thing. If you start boycotting comics where what Dave's talking about is the creator, the so-called creator of Ghost Rider, mm-hmm. Sued Marvel Comics for saying like, hey, I created this. And they went, no, you created it with one on a work-for-hire contract and also other people around. And you know what? Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you start boycotting characters where the creator got screwed,
yeah.
So long comics. You can't look at no Superman,
yep.
for sure.
Nope.
You can't look at anything Jack Kirby created. Mm-hmm. That's all gone, except for this work at DC. He did okay over at DC. I don't think Steve Ditko was very happy with how Spider-Man went.
No, he quit.
So basically, you know, you're done.
Yep. Don't forget Cerebus, because Dave Sim fucked himself.
Well, someone had to. Wait, okay. That's a mean thing to say.
It was
or
mean.
Is it?
It's, you know, it was a joke.
It is a joke.
And I'll say anything for a joke.
And you know what,
Dave? As anyone who's awkwardly stood beside me at a party while another person's face flushed red knows, I'll say anything for a joke.
That's right. And you know, sometimes when you do tell that kind of joke, mm-hmm. and then we do what we do, which is look at the ground, sometimes we find coins.
We find money that
so
way.
So it's profitable.
That's right. Well, I usually walk with my head down, and that's why.
But I went to see the movie. One, it's in 3D. I don't care for that.
Nope.
Don't like that at all.
So you saw it in 3D?
I saw it in 3D.
So you saw the movie, but slightly darker.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
You know what? You would think Ghost Rider is at night. You think like that, because that used to be his deal when he first started was, he turned on the Ghost Rider at night.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's a lot of daytime shooting.
Okay.
There's a lot, let me tell you what the thing is. There's a lot of movies in this movie. There's a lot of like, oh, that's a movie, but they don't all really tie together really well.
Oh, okay.
Like you can tell something happened in editing, which was like, put it all together. But it did the thing that bugs me the most in a movie. God, it's the thing that bugs me more than anything else in a movie.
It started?
Yes. What? What? No.
Oh, okay.
Movie should start and should just continue and they should end. It's in the course of the movie, someone stops and describes a movie that's better than the one you're watching.
Ooh.
Involving the characters in the movie.
Ouch.
It was like in the movie The Last Action Hero, where they started talking like in the middle of it, like, so anything could happen. Yeah, Dracula could show up. Yeah, or King Kong. Mm-hmm. What's going to show up? A guy with a scythe. Okay. How about that whole King Kong Dracula? How about Dracula bites King Kong and now we got like a King Kong that's a vampire? How about that? Yeah, you could do that. But you're not going to. No. But you mentioned it in your movie. Yeah, then fuck off. Because clearly, as the writer, you had that idea and decided against it, and everyone else decided against it.
Mm-hmm.
And like in a movie like Last Action Hero, where you had infinite money, there is no excuse for that at all. Okay. So, which brings us to Ghost Rider 2.
That's a terrible movie, by the way.
Last Action Hero?
Yeah.
I think that's universally agreed.
And I think
it's a universal movie, and it's universally
I think you've described
agreed.
Why, though. Is that there is that sense of it's kind of chintzy, yeah. even though there's lots of money in it.
Is chintzy a racial slur, by the way? Boy, that chintzy, sounds like it might be.
No.
And I remember when I found out gypped was, and I felt bad about that. But chintzy sure sounds like it could be. I think I dressed up as a chintzy guy for a couple of years as a kid. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's not a racist term.
Good. I will look that up.
I was going to agree with you.
Yeah.
Was that because it had a huge budget, you expected more from a movie with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you got like the bottom barrel, most unimaginative yep. film you've ever seen in your life mm-hmm. that took no advantage of any of the ideas that it introduced.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when the concept does not get fulfilled, that's mm-hmm. really frustrating. Well, in Ghost Rider, again, it's not the worst thing in the world. There's things and there's good things, but it seems like very different movies. Like at some points, it just seems like direct satire. Like they're just completely doing satire.
Okay.
Like political satire. And like, oh, that's kind of haha. And then completely changes direction. But at one point, the kid's talking to, Ghost Rider, Nick Cage, Johnny Blaze.
Yeah.
And he's asking like, how'd you do that thing before? And he goes, well, you know, I'm not going to do it as Nick Cage, but if I did do it in Nick Cage, I'll talk a little bit like this. Anyway. but he says like, yeah, anything that I ride turns into kind of a hellish thing that like has fire and stuff. And he's like, oh, would like a taxi be like that? I was like, I guess so. Yeah, it would. Oh, okay. And then he asks like, how about a roller coaster? And I was like, yeah, I suppose so. So you're thinking like something's going to come up yeah. soon. That's going to okay. be amazing. Amazing. He gets on a truck and the truck turns a little fiery, but that's it. Yeah. A roller coaster. You had that idea. Why are we not seeing Ghost Rider on a roller coaster on fire fighting somebody? That would be fantastic. That just bugs me the most of anything. Do not describe something better than the movie that you're presenting me with, you jerk. It's like serving a dinner and you're like serving a hamburger and just going, hey, yeah, I was thinking of making a delicious steak. Anyway, here's your burger. Oh, am I paying the same price as if I would for a steak? Yep. Oh, well, this is a terrible restaurant. You shouldn't have brought that up. I was fine with the burger before you brought up the steak. But now I'm like watching this movie thinking, flaming roller coaster. Yeah, that would be fantastic. In fact, the whole amusement park ride, you know, that he would like change into flaming things.
Yeah,
like you get
yeah.
on the carousel and now they're all hell horses. That'd be great. You go into the yeah. Hall of Mirrors and it turns into this hellish mirror world. God damn it. Like you could do so much with that, but. You know, I don't know if they just ran out of money or whatever, but don't, if you run out of money, just keep it mum and just yeah. do your movie.
Cut
and
that
don't,
C-note.
Yeah, don't tell me the better movie, Mac. No good.
Okay. Well, I am boycotting that movie.
Okay. Why are you boycotting it?
It just doesn't look very good.
Oh, well, that's not a boycott. That's just good judgment. I'm not boycotting.
But I'm not
boycotting the rotten food in my fridge. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to eat it.
Yeah.
That's not a boycott.
No. But I think if I give it that, you know, kind of sense of self-righteousness, it even makes it better, though, that I'm boycotting it.
Oh, so anytime you walk by the movie theater, you just go, harumph.
Exactly.
And keep going.
Tisk, tisk.
I actually used,
oh, Marvel.
When I used to buy the Ghost Rider comics as a kid, they would terrify me, actually. They'd be really scary. Like, I'd like them, but then I'd be too scared to have them around because it was like Ghost Rider's scully face looking at me from the cover. So I'd like turn them upside down, but then I'm like,
okay.
What if the dog came in and like knocked it over and then I woke up and Ghost Rider was looking at me? I'm like,
yeah.
I got to get rid of this. So I'd have to like tear it up and throw it out or get
really?
Rid of it. Yeah, or like throw it in the woods.
And then at night you'd wake up and it'd be sitting on your windowsill.
Right.
This is magazine lean or the comic. Leaning there?
Yep. That'd actually be a good comic story now that I'm thinking about it.
It'd be kind of scary.
Yeah. I used to love those kind of things. Like, they're really scary. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like back in the day, there seemed to be a lot of Satan. I kind of came up in the Satan age where a lot of people got powers from Satan. It was like, there's Ghost Rider and there's Son of Satan and there's Satana and there's like everything but Satan's dog, which now that I think about it, they should have had as a comic.
Interesting. Yeah. Was a time there's the movie Race with the Devil or Race Against the Devil with Peter Fonda and Warren Oates and
Peter Fonda, who was in the original Ghost Rider movie.
Yes, was he? Okay.
Yeah, there was a weird thing in this movie too. In the original movie, Peter Fonda is this real cool cat mm-hmm. who's like Mephistopheles. You know, in the comic, it was Satan, and then later Mephisto. But in this one, it's like a totally different dude. You know, like, and he's got a weird name like Charlek or something. Just like, just a weird name you just pulled out of your ass. Like, and this just this guy. It's like, well, that's not Peter Fonda at all. We watched the movie. What's this about?
Well, I wonder if in a kind of over the top religious era that we live in right now, you know, with all this kind of, you know what I mean? Anyway, if it's just uncool to use Mephistopheles or Satan or Lucifer or whatever.
Possibly. But then all you got to do.
If you say Sherlock, people are kind of like, well, that's fine. Just some made up.
Yeah, just make stuff. Up a name. Well, then all you do is you have like Peter Fonda show up and just go, you know, start go like, hey, it's Mephistopheles. No, my name is Dwayne. What? I go by many names. I have many names. And then you go. But it just seemed very strange. It was a completely different dude.
Yeah.
It's like watching a Superman movie. And this one, like, he gets his powers because, you know, he really worked out a lot and took a lot of vitamins. Wasn't he from Krypton? Meh. We're just going to have the second film where he takes a lot of vitamins. How's that one? How's that work out for you?
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he's got his iron now. He's a man of steel.
There you go.
Just thinking about... I was just going to say, like, so they made up Sherlock because then no one would get mad. Or whatever.
I'm making that name up, but it's close to it.
I know what you mean. But then I was thinking, wait a second, isn't like Mephistopheles and Lucifer, aren't they all made up? They're not from anywhere.
I don't.
They're just sort of accretions or mythical accretions.
So, the earliest one I know about that is like the Faust story for Mephistopheles. Like, did Marlowe just like make that up?
That he's adapting an old fable or tale like that had existed for a long time. And
was the name like Mephistopheles in that fable?
I don't really know.
Okay. Well, I know when Stan Lee came up with Mephisto, he didn't want to call him Mephistopheles because that was too satanic.
Yeah.
He was originally introduced in the Silver Surfer comic.
Okay.
And so they cut it back to Mephisto. So it's just like, you know, selling your soul to Sate.
Sate. Good old Sate.
What? And then it's like last name, something with an N.
Well, Satan is mentioned in the Bible, but Lucifer, no. Mephistopheles, no.
Right.
So, I mean, these are all kind of...
other names.
But this, you know, they're just like I say, just a creature. Just like the fact that the wise men, you know, they have names, but they didn't have names until the Middle Ages when someone made up
just
names
as
for
a,
them.
Just as a writer, it seems, you know, like it's kind of fun to make up a name and then you can do more with the character and like, well, that's not something that Satan would do.
Yeah.
Okay, but it is something that Garfrockelhock would do. Okay, I understand Garfrockelhock.
That's a great name. I hope you use that somewhere.
Well, maybe Ghost Rider 3. We'll see.
Ghost Rider 3. He can get his powers from, what's his name again? Sorry?
Sherlock. I don't know.
No, the other name you said.
Garfrockelhock.
Yes. Garfrockelhock.
Or like the old thing they always do, I could tell you my name, but to repeat it, I'd have to take out your tongue. It's always something like that. They always, someone's always a jerk ass about that. Whether you're an alien or a fairy or whatever, I could tell you, but to pronounce it, you would need five mouths and blah, 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 blah. Okay, how about you don't be a dick? Because clearly you can speak English. So why don't you just like, what would you like to be called on Earth? Let's not play that game.
You're a dick.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Fairy, you dick.
Yeah. Just like, don't be a... Yeah, well, fairies are dicks. Traditionally, fairies are jerks.
Yeah?
Yeah, and a fairy doesn't help you out. A fairy, like, messes you up.
What about the tooth fairy?
Well, I don't know. Tooth fairy's a little creepy.
Why?
Don't you think the tooth fairy's creepy?
No.
What's she taking all the teeth for?
Make a palace.
That's gross. How bad does that smell? Kids' teeth? Yeah. Do you wash your... Okay, you lose a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got bloody end of your tooth.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a kid. It's been in a kid's mouth.
Yep.
Nothing filthier in the world than a child's mouth.
There are filthier things in a child's mouth.
Nope. The science has said that.
Science has said that.
Yeah. I got Science Today magazine.
Science magazine?
Yeah. It's called Science Today.
Science Today.
All the science from today.
All the science from today.
The cover story is filthiest place in the universe, a child's mouth.
A child's mouth.
Okay. So you get the tooth out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the kid's got the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a kid, when you took your tooth out, did you go, I better wash this up?
No.
I better give this a good soaping.
I better wrap this in some Kleenex and put it under my pillow.
Exactly. It's stay filthy as filthy could filth.
Yeah.
And then you take your filthy, filthy, filthy tooth, and you stick it under your pillow, and then you get some filthy money for it.
Yeah.
It's filth on filth action. Could not be filthier. Everything about this is just filthy, filthy, filthy. So the tooth fairy then takes this filthy tooth, and you're telling me she then... She doesn't use it to make bone bread, which would make sense, as we've said. She then takes it and she makes a castle of children's teeth out of it.
Yeah.
That would smell terrible. It would smell the worst.
Wait a second. What's the first thing you do before you go to bed at night?
I check for monsters.
Okay. What is a thing you do before you go to bed?
Brush your teeth. I scream away my stress. I do my stress screams.
Okay. Then you brush your teeth.
Then I brush my teeth.
At some point in
I say goodnight to the moon and pray that it comes back the next day. And
good
I say,
spoon.
Please, sun, rise in the morning and do not plunge us into eternal darkness.
Okay.
I do that.
Wow.
Okay, then I go patrol the neighborhood because I'm not sure that Jack the Ripper is dead.
Okay.
Okay, so I do
that. So you
get
a flashlight.
Right. Then I check and see if I can talk to raccoons.
Can you?
No. So far,
okay.
No. I go back. I feed the cats.
Mm-hmm.
I see if I can talk to cats.
Can you?
No, so far no.
Okay.
I then talk to my wife.
Can you?
But I don't really communicate, but I think I can talk to her.
Okay.
Okay, then yes. Then I do go brush my teeth, okay. And I floss.
Yeah, and then you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Your teeth are clean.
Wait, you're saying that a child, all right, when you lost your teeth as a child, mm-hmm. you didn't just brush them and then like, then go a pullin'. You went like middle of the day a pullin'. You spent the whole day wiggling that thing and grossing out adults as a child does and then go crackety crackety, creakety crookety, crackety crackety pull. Or if you're an old timey kid, mm-hmm. you tied a lasso around it and to a go-kart or to a doorknob. Yeah. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
How many horrible things would have, oh my Lord, that's the worst thing in the world. And then like you ripped it out of your skull.
I tried that when I was a kid.
A doorknob?
Yeah.
How greedy were you? Wait it out.
Well, it didn't work out very well because I was on the wrong side of the door.
So it pushed it farther back in?
So I just opened the door up and the string just kind of went loose onto the ground.
Okay. Now, I'm not advocating doing this, but Dave, here's a thing mm-hmm. you can do if you want to know what it's like to be the tooth fairy. Floss your teeth.
Yep.
Smell the floss. That's her life. She invites people over. She invites the Easter Bunny over. She invites Santa over. She cooks them a nice meal. And they all go, I can't eat this. Why? Because it stinks in here. It stinks of children's teeth. Unless every day she goes out with a brush and brushes her entire castle and flosses her castle.
How about this then? How about this? You've just gone through something kind of traumatic as a child.
Puberty.
No, losing your teeth. Losing a tooth. It's no fun. It's in your mouth for a few days, wobbling around.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun doing the putting
you're
the
constantly
tooth.
Pressing your tongue against it and moving it around.
Right.
You're waiting for it to come out and it won't come out. And finally it does. And your first one, yeah. you're a little freaked out.
Mm.
Like the first time you lose a tooth, it's a bit freaky.
That's right.
So getting some money for that tooth, pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Tooth Fairy does a service.
Okay.
A public service.
All right. I think she does a service. I'm just saying her house stinks. You would not want to eat in that place.
Like
there is so much Febreze in that place. Mm-hmm. It is like an inch thick of Febreze and still stinks.
I think she cleans quite often. She has a toothbrush and some toothpaste. And
when she got the time, she's flying all around the world to like give kids money. Where's she getting this money too? Where's she making her money? It's fairy money.
She has time.
And listen, Dave, if you ever hear the stories of the fairies, if a fairy gives you money, mm-hmm. that money is cursed.
You're doomed?
It is not. Well, you're not necessarily doomed, but it's like leprechaun gold. You don't want to be spending that. That's like, and then the leprechaun comes after you and like tries to kill you, as according to all the leprechaun films.
Is that what happens?
Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space, Leprechaun 5, Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun 6, Leprechaun back into Hood.
Okay.
All of those films, Leprechaun 7, possibly in development with New Line. Okay. Not New Line, sorry, Lionsgate.
Lionsgate.
But they don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. Yes, the plot is he loses his gold and then he murders people to get his gold back. That's what you get with fairy folk. You do not want that money. Or your best case scenario is I've got this gold, then you leave Mother Ireland and it all turns to flowers.
Okay. Can I just ask you a question?
No.
Okay.
You can ask me two questions.
Can I ask you a question? Were you serious? Like, are the later, is there a Leprechaun in Space?
Yes. Leprechaun 4 is Leprechaun in Space, which is set. Okay. Well, which is not unusual because in the Jason movies.
Yeah.
Your Friday the 13th
there
movies.
There is one in space.
There is. Eventually, mm-hmm. you go to space. Same with the Hellraiser movies.
Okay.
Eventually, some of them take place in the future because you run out of people to kill in the present.
They must go through a lot of people.
Yeah. Even Nightmare on Elm Street, now that I'm thinking about it, Nightmare on Elm Street 5, you go not into the Jetsons future,
mm-hmm.
but they went to, which I thought was actually kind of a neat idea, was it was everyone in the town, there was no more kids because he'd killed them all. And all the parents were just wandering around like, I don't know, man, life's hard. And he talked to two of the parents who were Rosie O'Donnell and Tom Arnold at the time. And they were just like, everyone's spirits are broken. And it's like, I think it was some kind of holiday, like a fair. And they're all just like wandering around just like, all our kids are dead. It's just like, it's really rough.
Is that really how?
Yeah, that's how like Nightmare on Elm Street 5 was like. That Freddie had killed every kid on Elm Street in that Elm Street area in whatever Springdale or whatever it was. And so he was trying to find a way to like escape and go somewhere else because he was done there. Yeah, it was like really dark. But that's what you usually do in at some point in the horror franchise is you got to like future it up.
You got to freshen it up.
And then in Leprechaun, they went back from space to the Hood.
Okay.
And then they went back to the Hood and it became urban.
And so then he went from the future where there are robots back to the past so that Freddy
in space
Freddy,
I don't know if there
Freddy
was robots.
Krueger could do the robot.
Well, they
in
actually
the
had
ghetto a, and is doing it.
That's right.
Dance.
They had a recreation of the scene from Alien where an alien bursts out of John Hurt's stomach, but I believe the leprechaun bursts out of a guy's groin. I believe that does occur.
Well, he shouldn't have been keeping them, storing them there in his foreskin.
That is true. That's so yoy. Oh, you know what, listeners? I agree with whatever you're thinking right now. You're thinking, maybe I don't need to listen to this while I'm on the treadmill. You know what? I'm with you. But here's what I can't do. I can't turn this shit off. I got the guy in front of me. You think you got problems? You can just go clickety-clack, delete-y-delete. I can't swipe this guy and make him go away. I'm screwed. And the actor from the Leprechaun movies is the guy from Willow, who's now in Life's Too Short, the Ricky Gervais series. So,
oh.
Yeah. So he's done some good stuff. And yeah, I really...
Awesome stuff. Leprechaun 14?
No, it's only gone up to 6. And don't confuse this with Wishmaster, which is about a genie, I think, that's a similar deal.
Leprechaun 14, Back of the Horse.
Oh, explain.
He's part of a pantomime horse.
Okay, and?
It goes around murdering people.
Right, and it's all done in an old-timey farce style? The entire movie is to Yakety Sax?
Yes, it is.
Boy, how much Yakety Sax could you take?
Quite a bit, actually.
All right, fair enough. Well, you were doing some horse work earlier today, weren't you?
That's true. I was trimming a horse's feet before I came today.
Now, did someone ask you to do that, or is that just a fetish?
I was just driving past... I saw a horse in a field, stopped my car, jumped out. For some reason, I had my farrier tools with me. I farrier horseshoer equals horseshoer.
Right. You farriered across the Mersey.
When I first started doing that for a living, and I would tell people I was a farrier, they would pause briefly, and then they'd say, "Do you work on the ferry?" "No." Means I shoe horses. And then they would look shocked and say, "Did you say shoot horses?" But they would say, yeah. "Am I not being clear?"
Yeah. They shoot horses, don't they?
They do.
That's right. From the book of the same name. And I believe the movie of the same name. Yeah.
That's what I know it is.
Now, that's an interesting thing. I don't think we've ever mentioned that to our listeners, that you have worked as a farrier. In fact, up until this day, now that I'm hearing about it. Yeah.
Yes, I still do it.
No, that's cool. It's a horse. It's neat.
It's okay. It's a good job.
It is. I think it's nice for the horse, too.
I shouldn't say it's a good job. It was an okay job.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you like it a lot, it's a good job.
Now, were you...
I didn't like it that much.
Okay. Now, when you were a kid, did you like horses? Were you a horse guy?
I wasn't against horses.
Okay.
But I didn't actively seek them out.
You didn't protest against horses?
No, I didn't have any. I didn't picket them or anything.
That's right.
Go to the racetrack.
Burning a bucket of oats on their lawn.
Horses unfair to children.
Horses go home. Stop taking our jobs in pantomime shows.
That's right. No, when I was in Cub Scouts, we went to a dude ranch for one of our camping outings, and we got to ride horses at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty exciting. And then I remember a friend on his birthday, we actually went riding horses for that as well. I did like that, but it wasn't until I met my now wife.
Mm. Who is a horse.
Who is a horse
married
person.
Married a horse.
Is a horse person.
Because she married you. Then she became...
Is an equestrian. Yes.
That's not true at all. Your wife's a lovely woman who's a woman.
Yeah, I was ignoring you.
Okay, good.
For good reason.
No, I understand that.
I'm going to erase what you said.
No, I was not insulting... Okay, let me just say how this joke went. I was not insulting your wife, saying anything horseish about her.
Okay.
She's in no way a horse. She's the least horseless person I know.
Okay.
But I like the idea that you'd marry a horse.
Because of my love of horses?
Well, I think you'd look good next to a horse. If you were in a tuxedo and a horse was in a wedding dress and you were side by side and there was a picture of that on your mantle, I'd go, that's a smart looking couple. And then you'd have a centaur, which would be awesome.
When I first experienced horses with my wife, it was a lot different. It seemed a lot different than at dude ranches or like what I'd been before. Like she took me out to the barn. Her mom and dad had a farm. We went out to the barn and there was this enormous horse in the barn with this gigantic head. And it was kind of scary because, you know, it's an animal that can think.
Right.
And it can be thinking things like, I should take my enormous head and bash Dave on the noggin or bite him on the nose or something like that, right?
You're surviving because of the horse's goodwill.
The fact is that horses are rather dumb and aren't thinking those sort of things.
Absolutely. It's
they're
dumb,
not planning ahead.
But
you know?
If for some reason...
They're not balancing a checkbook when you're not there.
Really? You know?
No, they don't do that.
Oh, okay. Well,
to be honest, I don't balance a checkbook. I'm about as dumb as a horse as well, but.
Well, why did they come up with the expression horse sense?
I think that comes from like common sense.
Oh, very good.
That you would know how to act around horses. Like,
so it's kind of streetwise. A horse is streetwise.
Well, a person around horses uses common sense.
Indeed, they do. That makes sense. Makes horse sense. But like the horse, if something happened in this horse's brain and it went, I don't like you.
It could do a lot of damage.
Lots of damage.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing.
That's very true.
Frankly, but, with a dog.
But like that's why you start with them when they're small.
Right.
And same with dogs. You know, you start with them when they're small and harmless, relatively harmless.
Mm-hmm.
and you teach them to, you know, respect whatever kind of control devices you use, whether it's a halter.
Black magic,
particular type of dancing style. You know, if you frug in front of it, it will calm down or whatever, you know.
Right.
I found that was best.
Have you ever frugged in front of a horse?
I found that was very easy. The easiest way for me to keep a horse calm was just a little bit of frugging.
Okay.
So, and then the first.
I'm going to have a hard time finding a video for that, but go ahead.
The first time I ever rode a horse, rode one of my wife's horses. Like, you know, I was on dude horses before. Basically what those are basically it's like you're riding on a giant roller skate.
Right.
Because they do not react to what you are doing.
Nope.
They are just following the lead horse.
Right.
And you can kick them, you know, pull on the reins, push on the reins, tie the reins around their ears, do whatever you want, and the horse is just going to keep walking.
Frug as hard as you
want. That's right. And it's just going to keep walking in the exact same line. However, my wife's horses, they, you know, they were trained dressage eventing horses, you know, that the jumping and blah, 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 and reacted to the slightest pressure. And so I got into this horse, rode, I think, maybe once or twice around the ring at her parents' place. And then somehow I did something wrong and the horse took off into a canter slash gallop. It seemed like suddenly the horse was going at light speed. Well, anyway, I came off and then I landed kind of on the fence. I kind of straddled the fence and broke the fence.
Wow.
With my crotch.
So when people talk politically about being on the fence, that just sends you into painful groin memories.
I'm like, that's not such a good place to be. You could break the fence. And so, but of course, I got back on the horse and rode again.
Right. You were then a gelding by that point.
That's right. They just said, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. Perfectly okay.
I'm just feeling a little hoarse.
That's right. The horse said, stop it. As I got on the road, and that was pretty much my riding career with my wife, which was, I always felt guilty because she was a really good rider and I was, you know, not really good, but I always tried to keep up with her. I would always be like, oh no, we can canter. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with cantering. And then we would be cantering and I would just be like barely hanging in there.
Yeah.
And so if anything happened, like for instance, going past the scary culvert, which made the horse move sideways.
Yeah.
I would tend not to move sideways with the horse. I would be where the horse was,
yep.
And he would be beside me.
You're doing the old Wile E. Coyote hovering midair.
That's right.
Now, as long as you do not look down, and again, as long as you never studied law, you are fine.
I am fine.
But if
unfortunately,
the second you
I don't think I really studied law, but I think I did look down.
Yep, that's your problem.
And pretty much, it happened a few times. In fact, I knocked myself unconscious. One November, we were riding down the field.
At least you remember what month it was. That's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it was November because the ground was really hard and I fell off. And was I wearing a helmet? No. And did I start wearing a helmet after that? Why, yes, I did.
Yep.
Because that taught me a valuable lesson. My head is not soft.
Yep, as November ground.
The ground was not. Anyway, yeah, I kind of blacked out.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I only rode a horse once when I was 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and a guy just brought – this is the kind of thing you used to be able to do in the day.
Yeah.
Guy brought a horse to the street.
Really?
We didn't live in a country town.
No, we lived in a proper suburb. Yeah.
But a guy just brought a horse, and all the kids lined up and went, can I get on the horse? And we all rode the horse for a bit. And I remember like when I was on it, I was like – it was basically like I'm sitting on top of a six-story building looking straight down with no control.
Yeah.
And my little legs are spread really far on this horse, and it's like painful, and it's just like, this is terrible. But to my sister, this is heaven. She loved it to the point where like she learned how to ride a horse. She owned horses, you know, but you know, I'd see horses do things to her. Like, you know, she'd be like petting a horse and the horse decides your finger is like sugar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bite.
Yeah.
And then I'd see her finger and go like, well, I don't want to be around that. Or she'd be in a horse show and the horse decides, you know, it'd be fun if I went on both on my back legs and tried to buck you off. And she was luckily okay, you know, those times that, you know what? I was not okay that time though, because I'm watching the show with my mom and my mom's holding my hand.
Yeah.
And then my sister is like, the horse is trying to buck her off. Well, Lee's fine.
Death grip,
like a mother bear death grip, where she just crushed my hand to powder. I could make bone bread out of it with no further mixing. Holy cow! Yeah, it was terrifying. So I was not a horse person because I saw what horses actually did to my sister.
Well, you know, those are valuable lessons to learn, that a horse isn't a bicycle, that it's an animal with a nervous system, has a mind of its own, and you know.
Well, that was the other thing, was like I knew bicycles existed. existed. And so I went, there's no reason to have a horse.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
for it's nice and warm and it's cute, it's cool. And I guess horses, horses are lovely animals, but my bike don't shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to feed my bike.
I don't have to brush it.
That's right. And
I don't have to pay to have it, have its feet done by a person who works in the ferries.
That's right.
Don't have to, you don't have to have vets come out and you don't have to worm it. You don't have to.
Right. You are, again, you're a farrier. Do they still have both types of clam chowder on the ferry?
Do they only have one? Do they have
the white and the red? Do they have the?
We have Manhattan and New England.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good to know. All right.
I just want you to next time you go, make sure you can have both on the same. Or you can have one when you go,
right?
And one when you come back. And what I recommend is New England on the way there and Manhattan on the way back.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. Yeah. Now that is actually a really good tip.
Why?
Well, okay.
Downtown, uptown.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Now, as a farrier, do you have horseshoes around your home?
No. I do have horseshoes around my home, but they're around my home as pieces of metal that are laying around.
Now, does that make your home luckier?
Does it make... Not so far.
Okay.
Not so far.
But again...
Perhaps we should hang them up upright. So
are they made of iron?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, here's the thing. If someone...
They're actually made of steel, but okay.
Okay, let me just say that here's a good thing you can do, speaking of fairies and elves and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, say, brings a baby to your house...
Yep.
As they might do, they might bring a baby to the house and go like, hey, David, look at my baby.
Yep.
Here's just a tip. Casually take the horseshoe
uh-huh.
and just brush it against the baby's face.
Okay.
And that way you will know if it's an elf that has taken the baby's place.
Is that right?
Because the elves cannot stand the touch of iron. They will hiss and turn like bestial, and they will scurry around. And the parents will go, thank you, David. I will search for my baby now.
Wouldn't they rather not know that?
Do you think they'd really rather raise like a beastly elf baby? Do you know what kind of college charges those would be? Like taking all those courses that you don't need? I mean,
tail spinning.
Well, here's the thing. If you've raised your child and they become a teenager and you find at any point that they become a jerk, which sometimes happens, a lot of people blame that on puberty. Just go, it's the times, it's video games, it's permissiveness, it's school. Rub a little iron on the face. See if you got a demon. Might be a demon.
Well, I'll remember that. I'll keep one in the house. And
You don't have to, and I'll tell you why. You do for your neighbors.
Okay.
But because both of your daughters ride horses or have been around horses or have been around the metal in your home, you know they're fine.
They're fine.
I'm talking about the jerks they hang out with.
Okay.
Okay. Any of those guys.
So just kind of casually hand the shoe to them when they
Right. Well, like your daughter Phyllis, who
Would
we brought up.
Would you mind holding that for a second?
Exactly. Your daughter Phyllis, who we brought up in previous episodes, who doesn't exist.
Yeah.
When she starts to date.
Yes. When she starts getting old and I'm tired of her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, when she's started carbon dating. When she starts to date and you bring the fella over and you're like, hello, Mr. Dedrick. Hello, Mrs. Dedrick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you
want to... When I go to shake his hand, I hide a horseshoe in my hand?
Hide your horseshoe in your hand and give it the old boo-ba-da-boo, and then you know whether or not your daughter's dating a demon.
And when he's not, I just say, I was just checking to see if you're a mason.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually... When I went to farrier school, when I learned to work on the ferries, we had to make our horseshoes. We had to make our own horseshoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I hot shod, right? Like I would have to heat up the shoe and shape it and then take it over to the foot or the hoof and burn it on.
Now, do you put the shoe onto the horse while it's warm?
To nail it on?
Yes.
No.
No.
But when you are shaping it to the foot, you put it on while it's still warm and then you get that wonderful cloud of smoke that comes up and makes everything smell like burnt hair. Because that's all the hoof is. It's just made of cuticle, just like your nails or your hair.
Now, I've got a theory about this this horse shoeing thing, and I want to clear it up maybe with you, because you would know. Now, that you nail the shoe onto the hoof.
Yes.
And people say that the horse feels no pain.
Yes.
Now, my theory is perhaps the horse is too polite to mention it.
No.
You're sure the horse isn't polite and is just going I don't want to say anything. He's trying his best.
I have personally
I appreciate the free shoes. I don't want to be a dick about this, but you're nailing my foot.
Okay, I'm quite lucky.
Mm-hmm. Because of all the horseshoes.
I never quicked a horse, but I have seen a horse get quicked or have the nail go into the sensitive part of the foot.
Oh.
And they do react to it.
Oh.
They do react to
and
it.
And that's called a quick...
That's called quicking, when you quick... Into the quick, because that's the... Just like the quick on your...
That's not to be confused with the quickening from Highlander.
Not to be confused with... That's something I've never seen before and never heard of.
You don't know what the quickening is?
No.
Okay, David. Let me tell you.
Something to do with Jell-O?
No, David. No.
Okay.
Not at all. First of all, that's...
Because it sounds like something is setting.
No. Don't give me that. Okay, look. Jell-O pudding was made into is chocolate, and quick is chocolate, but quick is not pudding.
Well, no, I just mean quickening, like, or cement setting. Like, that's what it makes me think of.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're wrong. And here's why. The Highlander movies.
Okay. Yes.
What happens is...
This is Captain Highlander. Is it about fish sticks? The quickening is how quickly you can cook the fish sticks.
No. No, it's okay. Not, David. Look, there's a lot of things... David, I'll joke around about a lot of things. I'll joke about religion. I'll joke about fairies.
I've noticed.
I'll joke about horses. But don't...
I take that personally.
Okay, but I will joke about Ghost Rider, but do not...
I'm boycotting jokes about Ghost Rider.
I respect you on that. Okay. But do not joke around about Highlander.
Okay.
The greatest movie series of all time.
Okay.
With the exception of all the movies.
Exception. So it's a
potentially,
classic. It's a classic series.
Potentially it could be if the they stopped making the movies.
Right from the... So you're saying the main drawback, main drawback to those films is that they started.
Yes. And it's good up until about the first, maybe 10 minutes of the first one, and then it goes to shit. But here's what the quickening is. In the Highlander world, what happens is, you might be a Highlander and not know it. No, that doesn't make sense. You might be an immortal and not know it. That's the thing. Now, here's how you'd know.
Because if you're up at a mountain, then you know you're a Highlander.
Technically, you are.
Okay.
Okay, but you don't know if you're immortal.
No, unless you fall off the mountain and you walk away.
Oh, that's a good tip, Dave. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Here's how you find out. It's a very simple way of finding out if you're immortal. Die. Okay.
And if you don't die.
If you come back, then you're an immortal.
Okay.
Good for you.
That's a good
step one.
So what you're saying to me is I should go to a high place, jump off,
right,
and then see what happens.
It's your choice.
Are we telling that to our listeners as well, what they should do?
Well,
go to a high place, jump off.
Right.
Just do this tomorrow. Don't do it now. Because you're probably busy. But tomorrow when you have some time.
Right. You're an immortal. You got all the time in the world.
Well, but you don't know yet.
But if you do, you better find out.
You better find out before you know.
Why? What's the rush if you're an immortal?
You could die before you find out.
What?
Yeah.
But then you come back.
But you don't know.
What?
You don't know if you're going
to
come back.
Makes no sense. The Highlander, the quickening. So, don't listen to that. It's a bunch of nonsense. So, I'm sorry, and I was bad-mouthing the movies, whereas I could have also been bad-mouthing the animated series and the live-action TV series.
Okay.
So let's just put all those.
All those eggs in one basket.
Terrible. The quickening is there could be only one Highlander, not Highlander, immortal at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kill another, like say we're both immortals.
Okay.
I cut off your head.
Thanks.
Okay. And then I get your energy, and it's like a big lightning
storm.
So
you're immortal unless you're killed by another immortal.
That's correct.
So you're not really immortal.
You are until you're not.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like I was a Catholic until I wasn't.
But that doesn't mean other Catholics aren't, you know.
Yeah, only a Catholic could kill me.
So only a Catholic could
That's
make
how the
you...
Catholic Church works.
Only a Catholic could make kill... you not a Catholic.
Yeah, another Catholic, I'm immortal unless another Catholic makes me feel guilty and then he lowers my resistance enough that he can then kill me.
Okay.
But then he can be forgiven by the Pope.
Well,
that's a different series. I don't want to get onto that topic.
Okay.
So, okay, you and I are both immortals. I cut off your head.
Thanks.
Or hell, you cut off my head.
Okay, that sounds better.
You know, enjoy happy Lent. Cut off my head. So I'm giving up my head for Lent.
Okay.
So you cut off my head and then lightning. Oh, you get all my energy and you get all my energy. Now you're strong.
All right.
Now you got
it. So I wasn't strong before?
You're okay, but you
now were. I'm stronger.
You're stronger. You're twice as strong. You got my energy as well.
Okay.
You know what? I could take better care of myself. Maybe you're a little stronger. You know what? Maybe, and by the way, check the high blood pressure.
Okay.
Yes, maybe you get my high blood pressure.
That's advice. Okay.
Yeah, just check that stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I've been getting some blurry vision. Maybe just check that out. Anyway. And you're not that tolerant to milk, so cut back on the cheese. But anyway, the quickening. Then you've got.
So I don't like milk.
It's not you don't like it. It makes you feel gassy.
It makes me irritated.
Irritated. And as an immortal, you know you don't need that.
I don't
business.
Need that kind of stuff.
Drink some poison. Who cares? You're immortal.
Man.
What's it matter?
Poison milk.
There you go. So you got to kill everyone else that's immortal, and at the end of that, you will get the quickening. The quickening will occur, and then you will have like great, great power. And so the whole thing is there can be only one. Yes. There can be only one, and that will be you. And that's how Highlander 1 ended, with one guy going, "It's me!" And that was the end. Now, the problem is, there's sequels.
Because there were hidden immortals.
Not really, no. Just basically the second one started with, "Hey, you know that thing we told you in the first one? Nah, that wasn't right. Oh, by the way, we're also from another planet," which then they didn't use in other movies. And then in the fourth one was all oofty magoofty. In fact, the fourth one had a trailer that was so different than the actual movie. I wrote to Roger Ebert and went, "Is this legal?" And he published my letter and went, "Like, I don't think it is. This is you can't do this." They had like in the trailer, they had a guy like levitating people and opening vortexes to other dimensions and throwing fireballs. And in the movie, none of that happens.
Is that right?
Nothing.
And so was that used in a different film? Was it like Rocket Robin Hood?
Where they did was they did their movie. Went, "This is a boring movie. We got to do a trailer." Did the trailer. Trailer's boring. They threw a bunch of stuff in the trailer that in no way was in the movie.
Nice.
Yeah, they really goosed it up.
That's clever.
Yeah, well, clever and evil.
You were the silly goose.
That's right.
But you went and saw the movie.
I did. I've actually seen all of the movies, yeah.
I don't think you should blame anyone for that but yourself.
Oh, I'm not.
I think you should have a big mirror and just walk around with it looking into it.
Nope, there can be only one person to blame for seeing the Highlander movies. Me. Well, some of them I couldn't stop by. To be fair to myself, the TV show was shot in my neighborhood, so
yeah.
Highlanders were wandering about. When I was like going to the store, I would pass a Highlander.
A Highlander? Or an immortal?
Well, both. Because there were some Highlanders and there
aren't immortal.
So, okay, here's the thing. No, that's not true. I was going to say all Highlanders are immortals, but not all immortals are Highlanders. But that's not true because there are Highlanders that are not immortal. So, you know, I stand corrected myself.
Well, it sounds horrible.
You know what?
I'm glad I didn't see it.
I'd apologize to you, Dave, for all this, but I'm giving up apologizing for Lent.
No, yeah, that's a good idea.
Right.
As Canadians, we're very apt to apologize.
And it's very difficult not to say I'm sorry.
Or me as a quasi-Canadian, I'm very apt to apologize.
Now, why are you a quasi? Is that because of the hunch on your back?
That's right, because I have a hunch. I have a hunch that, no, because I'm not Canadian.
Why? You're a little bit?
I'm a little bit country.
Right.
And you're a little bit rock and roll.
That's right. But do you want to say your other place you're from?
You're a little bit...
something Nashville, a little bit of Motown in my soul. Don't know if it's good or bad, but I know I love it. So thanks. Now I got to find this clip online and put it up with the links.
That's why I did it.
Fine. Done. I know where to find it.
No, because I'm an American citizen. Actually, I'm a world citizen. I like to think of myself as an internationalist.
Right.
You know, I have a little bit of everywhere. No, I'm American. I have an American passport.
Mm-hmm. What's something you do that's American?
So I get sneered at as I go across the border back into Canada.
We're almost running out of time, but I'd like to ask these questions. I would apologize for asking.
We are getting close. Yeah.
What's something you do that you say is the most American thing you do? And what's something you do that's the most Canadian thing you do?
The most American thing that I do?
Mm-hmm. Do you fire guns a lot?
No, I don't have any guns.
Okay.
The most American thing that I do.
Pride? Are you prideful?
I'm not really prideful. Do you think Americans are prideful?
I think they got, yeah. I think the whole, we're the greatest country in the world. I think, yeah. I think when Canada says that, we don't
feel
really
that way about
it.
I feel that way about Canada.
Though. I feel sort of that way about Canada, I think we've got an asterisk next to us when we say it.
Okay.
And I think there's an exclamation mark next to it when Americans say
it. No, I don't think I have that. Cause, you know, I even remember like when I was younger going across I have cousins who live in the States and we would get in arguments about what country was better. And of course I would argue for Canada, even though I had an American passport or could have had an American passport. I never had a passport then.
Is it your love of burgers?
Could be. I do love burgers.
You do love the show Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I do like that
show. And you do like only the episodes really where he eats burgers.
I just fast forward through anything that isn't burger related.
I think that is the most American thing about you.
Possibly, yes.
I've seen you take a burger that no human head should be able to fit. And you have eaten it in a good solid bite. Like you're able, there are no burgers beyond your mouth.
And as you know, I also think of myself as the defender of Portland.
Yes.
Against the evil that is Portlandia.
That is true.
So that's, I don't know if that's.
You're very defensive about your country or elements of your country. And you can, no burger is beyond your unhinging your jaw.
Exactly.
All right. And what would be the most Canadian thing about you?
My self-effacing nature.
Mm, sure. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not one to stick my head up and make a big fuss about myself.
Right. And I saw you tonight, and I believe you had a burger. Am I right about that?
Yes.
You enjoyed a burger and a glass of clean drinking water.
Yes, I did.
That's very Canadian and very American together.
There you go.
That was a very bi-countrial meal.
Well, as you know, I have given up sugar for Lent.
Okay. So I did. All right. I knew that, but the listeners did not.
Okay. Yes. For the next 40 days, I'm attempting to go without sugar.
Right. And without listening to the Archie song.
Sugar, sugar.
Right.
Do, 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 do. Oh, honey, honey. Do, 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 do.
I once brought up that they'd never followed that up with any other hits, and you shot me down and told me that indeed the Archies did have other hits.
Yeah, they did have other hits. Yeah. Jingle Jangle was another one.
Yep.
It's a good song. And there are lots of good songs on Archie's records. Like, you know, basically they came out of the same scene as the bubblegum rock of that time, you know, the similar writers and stuff like that. So, there's tons of competent pop writers that fed that particular machine. Same with like the Partridge Family.
Did Josie and the Pussycats ever release any songs?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I have a really good collection of their stuff called Stop, Look, and Listen, I believe.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, they had some really good singers as well. In fact, the main singer for Josie and the Pussycats was like music was black.
Mm-hmm.
Not obviously in the show, but in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a good singer.
The one of the Pussycats was black?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Valerie, who I believe is dating Archie now. But who ain't dating Archie? Everyone's dating Archie.
slut.
Yeah.
Archie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, Archie. No, Valerie's fine.
No, Valerie's against her.
Was that the only people in the Archie universe that released albums? Because there was also that Wilkin boy, I think they had.
Never heard anything. Possibly, though, because there's no stone left on merchandise. Right.
There was no Archie Christian songs when you went through that period. Actually, the first Archie book that I ever read or purchased, my mom got for me through the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Archie's Madhouse.
Okay.
But it was Sabrina Presents Archie's Madhouse. And yeah. It was in this weird period where it was all horror comics.
Yeah.
So it was all, and it was graphic horror,
wow.
Satan, this, that, and the other, gory stuff.
Well, because they did have the Red Circle.
Right. But it was done Dan DiCarlo Archie style.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you look at the EC stuff and you can sort of take it because that's the way it is. But when you see something really horrible done Archie style, it's really horrific and it just terrified me.
Wow.
And made me go, what's up with Sabrina? And then recently I looked online to find the original Sabrina comic. She was kind of evil when she started.
Really?
She was a real badass. She was like, hey, I'm Sabrina. How's it going? And she's looking at you really sexy, really sexy.
Wow.
And she's talking about, hey, you weren't expecting this when you saw, we thought of a witch, huh? You think I was going to have this, that, and the other? Well, here's how it works nowadays, boys. And
so was Sabrina created by Dan DiCarlo?
Yes.
And Josie and the Pussycats as well?
Josie from Josie and the Pussycats is based on his wife, Josie.
Okay.
Who was dressed up one Halloween as Josie as a pussycat.
Oh.
And you can sometimes find those pictures of her online. It's very nice. It was strange. I remember I was telling you a couple of shows ago that I met Jeffy from Family Circus.
Yes.
The only parallel I'd find to that, with the exception of maybe meeting Joe Matt or Chester Brown, who you're more familiar with their cartoon version than themselves, was I did get to meet Dan DiCarlo when he was working for Bongo Comics, which I work for.
Wow.
And his wife was there with him at a con, and I got to meet her, and it was like, this is Josie. This is Josie from Josie and the Pussycats, the actual Josie. And it was just such a thrill.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, you should be. She's great. But Sabrina, back when I was reading about this, she was really malicious. Hmm. And Salem was her familiar, and Salem be rewarded for doing malicious things to people. He'd dig up a neighbor's flower bed, and she'd good for you.
I seem to remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I'll have to look those up.
Yeah, very, very neat. I'll try and put some links up, but we can talk Archie for days, but we are past our hour.
We are well out of time.
You know, these good people, listen, I'm expecting a lot of people do work out to this. And if they work out longer than an hour, one, their parking is going to expire outside of the gym.
Yeah.
And two, they're going to
expire.
They might have injuries, and I don't want that to happen.
We care about
you, listener. I appreciate you working out to this, but seriously, do your cool down.
Yeah.
Towel off.
Yeah.
And go home.
Okay. Well, I think that you want to pump some things up, do a little promoting.
Do a little plug?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the basic plugs that I always do, we do a show called Amuse-Bouche once a week, Fridays, at a restaurant called Slickety Jim's here in Vancouver.
Very good. I've eaten there.
And we do a Titmouse show the third Thursday of the month. As well at the Cosmic Zoo. Now, this coming February 29th, Superman's birthday, as we have established.
Yes.
I'll be doing a live Dungeons & Dragons show with some of the folks we teamed up with for the Justice Pals.
That's right.
Crossover, Eric Fell, Sean Stewart. We got Lauren McGibbon is going to be part of that.
Alan Morrison?
Yes, Alan Morrison will also be part of that. And we're going to be at the Rio Theater.
Okay.
Doing a live improvised Dungeons and Dragons comedy show. So if you want to go.
So what are you going to be doing then? Are you going to be playing a game of Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, and then we'll be acting it out. So it's us as players, and then it's us as the characters as well.
Okay.
And I have played, to this point in my life, two games of Dungeons and Dragons.
And who's the Dungeon Master?
That will be Eric Fell.
Okay.
Who has played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
And we also have another woman who, and I forget her podcast, I'll tell you next week, but who is has a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So she knows what she's doing as well. So we're in good hands. I'm scared. I'm afraid.
You should be.
I'm afraid of going into the dungeons. I'm afraid of meeting the dragons.
Yep.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sure. That's it. What?
Okay.
That's not enough?
That's good.
You greedy son of a.
We really have gone over time. So I promise all the listeners out there that I'm going to cut out everything that Ian said from the show.
Thank God. Well, then we're answering your letters. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate you listening to our nonsense. It's a lot of fun for us to do, and thanks for being there listening to it as well. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Go to our Facebook, Twitter. Well, we're not on Twitter, so don't go there. But go to our Facebook or sneakydragon.com and say hi.
Say hi. We are on Twitter. You're at Ian Boothby.
Oh, I'm at Ian Boothby.
I'm
that's
at
true.
Dave Dedrick.
That's right. Exactly.
And if you go to our website, you can see our Twitter feed there.
Okay. Get off the treadmill. Turn it off. Make sure you do your cool down. Maybe have a little steam and just relax, and you have a lovely rest of your day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Testing this with you right now. Hopefully not too sibilant.
I don't think it'll be too sibilant. You couldn't be any more sibilant than I am. My middle name is Sybil.